So, naturally, therefore, the breath of a man in sound health must give health to another in his presence. The breath of a mastermind must vitalize the thought of another, and the breath of a spiritual person must illuminate those in his presence. By breath, a spiritually developed person can impart his physical energy, his thought power, and his spiritual influence to others with whom he may come in contact. It is natural, no doubt, that if the one who wishes to impart has not sufficient power to impart, he becomes broken. If there is a greater demand on his power, and if there is little left for him. Please hear that. Especially, I know we have some people in the room that are in the healing professions and working with in different modalities of the health arena. So here I say it again, and this is why practice is so essential. We get prepared. It's like the winding of the clock, as Hazrat Imam Khan says, and we're ready to meet the demands of the day, so to speak. So, by breath, a spiritually developed person can impart his physical energy, not his thinking, not something I read, something you really know, you know. Impart his physical energy, his thought form, his spiritual influence to others with whom he may come in contact. It is natural, no doubt, that if the one who wishes to impart has not sufficient power to impart, he becomes broken if there is a greater demand on his power and if there is little left with him. Sufis, therefore, consider breathing connected with meditation much more important than anything else in the world. Their food, their sleep, or comfort. Simple instructions, indeed. But the essence of life is breath. Are there any comments or questions? We have quite a silent group today.
How do you stop the boring intellectualizing when you're driving along and someone's talking about stuff you don't want to hear?
I let them do it, and I breathe.
You know, you're supposed to talk from your feelings, share you.
Well, you know, this is where people are. And the thing is that my Tibetan Buddhist teacher many years ago was giving me a personal teaching on my meditational deity in that tradition. And he said to me, hear all sounds that arise as the recitation of the mantra. See all visual forms in the world as the emanation of the meditational deity's body. And so in that way, I remember I was in a taxi in India one time with a Dharma brother whose lama is my same lama. And we were in Delhi, and it was like, oh my God, it was probably 3:00 in the morning. You know how it is, Delhi, and India never sleeps. It's on the go all the time. Leo has actually gotten on the Dharamsala dog's schedule. He sleeps by day and then he wants to roam by night. It's like, what, have you become a Dharamsala dog all of a sudden? Anyway, we're in the taxi and it's like, you know, it's just so much noise. And my friend's like ready to pull his hair out. And I just looked at him and it's like, you know, Rinpoche would just say, to hear all these sounds is the emanation of your deity's mantra. And so when people do that, I mean, there's a part of me, and probably in all of us, you know, there's a little bit of resistance or we want to change it. And then I think, oh, I just need to sit here and breathe. Let them do it. It's just energy. At one level, it's energy. It's the judgment. I mean, there's where the disinterestedness comes in again. You know what I mean? It's not. It's being dispassionate in a healthy way, you know? And do whatever, you know, if this is how they want to use their breath, who am I to say?
Well, surely I can be creative enough to think of something that they would like to talk about better, you know, it's up to me. To,
But then there's the judgment again. Better. Better according to you or me.
Right.
Or, you know, that might be better to them. You know, that's their better.
You know, you can do a mantra as you're driving. Let them talk. And then just say, instead of Jesus Christ, let them shut up. You say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let my life be in divine order. Instead of you want to say Jesus. Okay. I got lots of friends like that.
Yeah.
When they get older, they even get worse.
Thank you, Jesus.
I said, thank you, Jesus. I'm in order and just keep driving. Yeah.
But I'm going to tell now. I'm going to tell a story on Mama.
They get the transmission.
No, this is what we're talking about, because you're sending that thought on your breath, and by you shifting your attention and your energy. True that they shift, but sometimes with my mom, and we all have moms, you know, sometimes we have the wind up for the pitch on the phone, and I've decided I'm not going to, you know, sometimes I'll go, Mom, I'm going to hang up, call me later when we can talk more, but then there are other times where I think, well, you know, it's probably something very important. I know I've had a really long day, but I'm going to listen. And then I'll do the practice Tonglen, which is from the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, where you absorb the energy and then you just offer back something wholesome. And it's so funny, because Mom, when I've done it, this is what Mom does. Are you there? Are you still there? She thinks I've gone. I'm still there. But it's like the energy really, you know, shifts even over the phone. It's like, are you still there? My mom is amazing, by the way. Do you mind if I tell how old you'll be in April?
Everybody's going to know sooner or later. I never had difficulty until coming up April. I'm going to have difficulty, I think. I've never had difficulty.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not going to
say that.
I'm not going to have difficulty.
Divine order. Smooth.
Yeah, but you can tell them. I don't care.
She's going to be 80.
Yay.
Yeah. And that's what the doctor said. I wasn't feeling well, and she was my chauffeur, which I told her I really actually liked it very much yesterday. She had to take me back and forth to the doctor. But she has such an amazing life force. You know, she's an example of that. That, I mean, I was feeling better just being with her. You know, I got more energized. Even some people talking to me on the phone that had talked to me during the week when I wasn't very well said, wow, your voice even sounds different. So she's like a battery, you know. The chemo, watch out, you'll be all charged up after sitting next to her.
Sometimes very young people are talking and
my
find myself listening. Tuning them out or whatever, then I try to like just stay open to something that they might say that might strike a chord of one of my passions or whatever, and maybe hear something in their voice or whatever, and ask them a question that kind of comes, you know, not leading them or forcing them, but just a curiosity about something they've said. And sometimes that subtle shift by focusing on that, it'll help them sometimes go to a different level. And it is more than it does, that ego. Then it's like, I could really buy into listening to them now because they're talking from the heart rather than just...
Yeah, just the amount of energy that goes into resisting something is huge. You know, it's like that, there is that, again, I think it's from the Buddhist tradition about the, you know, holding on to the coin, you know, like how much energy it takes to hold on to the coin like this. But if you're like that, you're still holding it, you know what I mean? But it's not like... Yeah, mindful and awareness. See what's arising. That's right. Halima. Again, we're reading from the Garden of Anayakan.
I like the magic card.
Yes.
And this is probably a pretty common experience, especially for us who, as we grow into.
For those that are listening in, excuse me, that's our dog Leo. Snoring. He's very relaxed. He's in his Nidra Yogi position here. So please don't be concerned. He's alive and well. Just extremely relaxed here. So Samadhi, different levels of Samadhi. Okay, Musa.
I've had sufficient hearing loss that if I'm in a restaurant or a party or almost any kind of gathering where lots of people are all talking at once, that you know, it sounds sort of like the snoring. And what I need to deal with in those circumstances is not judgment of others, but self-judgment. Because, you know, if I just relax and say, okay, this is the sound of the ocean, it's very nice. But if I think, well, I must look like a real jerk because I'm not interacting, then that puts me into a more contracted place. So that's the other side of the coin that was the question that was raised is, just letting sound be is the general way to deal with it, mm-hmm. I think.
Are there other people that have that issue? Because I know Joe and I were talking about that he also has that, the difficulty sort of filtering out sounds. A lot of people do. I think that also happens developmentally with, I don't know what the cause of yours is, there may be something physical or environmental that's created that, but I think sometimes with spiritual practices, just I want to make this as a, caveat so people can understand this also, the hearing, the inner sound shifts, and that can also produce periods where one can't clearly hear. There's something else going on as that inner sound opens up, but that usually will clear.
Well, I had my hearing tested by an audiologist, and the frequencies I can't hear is actually pretty common among a lot of older men, that the sounds that one can hear are the rumbling sounds, and the sounds that one can't clearly hear are the frequencies where the voices are. So, I mean, that's actually probably something to be aware of when you're around an older guy who seems to sort of be out of it, that it may just be a
failure to be able to hear you. The blank look is for a reason.
If you ever wanted to hear, you could press right here and it would restore, open the channels very well. But of course, there's nothing worth hearing.
if I could see what you were doing with all the light that's going from the window behind you, it would help.
It's your thumb finger pressing with your thumb right here.
I'm continuing with the class here. So this is again from the text, the flower garden of Anayakan. And this is a selection from the, and I should say that this book is illustrated by one of Anayakan's students, who was a very famous illustrator of children's books in Europe. And she was also one of his premier music students. And in her home, which is in Holland, there are musical instruments that she played at the hand of Anayakan. Thy light has illuminated the dark chambers of my mind. Thy love is rooted in the depths of my heart. Thine own eyes are the light of my soul. Thy power worketh behind my action. Thy peace alone is my life's repose. Thy will is behind my every impulse. Thy voice is audible in the words I speak. Thine own image is my countenance. My body is but a cover over thy soul. My life is thy very breath, my beloved, and myself is thine own being. There's another phrase on this page which relates, I think, to some of our conversation here, and it says, a sincere feeling of respect needs no words. Even silence can speak of one's respectful attitude. A sincere feeling of respect needs no words. Even silence can speak of one's respectful attitude. There's a beautiful quote from Hasrudanai Khan, and I'll paraphrase it because I don't think I have it right here, but it has to do with that stillness, that silence. And he says, people often ask me questions that I cannot easily explain in words. And it makes me sad to feel that they do not understand the meaning of my silence. Not everything can be understood in only through one method, you see. People often ask me questions I cannot easily answer in words. And it makes me sad, I think he says, and it makes me sad to feel that they do not understand the meaning of my silence. Leo, yeah, wake up a little bit. Come on, you stay though. Good boy. Any comments or questions?
You know, once with my Maharshi, he was taking questions and someone said, I'm having such trouble with someone at work. They won't listen to me. I know I can help them. And Maharshi just said, just breathing. Just if they won't listen to your words, it's something you can practice. You can try it. If they won't listen to your words, you're just not getting through. Go into the calmness of your breath and just be with them, that silence. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how things will shift. My wish is once when we were doing the meditation, when I was quite young, and I was sitting on a chair, and we were doing the zikr, the Hasrudanai Khan Samadhi, and suddenly I was leaving my body. I thought, oh, I fell off the chair. No, I'm still sitting here. No, I fell off the chair. I had two of me, or something like that. You know, I was out there, it was kind of staggering. So when we were done, I felt quite dizzy, and I stood up and went to Maharshi and said, I think I need a hug. And he said, what? And I said, I'm not quite all here, I'm over there and here. And I started reaching for him. And he took me and stood shoulder to shoulder and said, breathe. Mm-hmm. And he just breathed next to me, just took my hand and stood shoulder to shoulder. And glued right back in. All the pieces that were coming apart glued right back together, and I was all glued together again. It was a strange sensation. But the breathing,
I felt like I needed a hug, you know, mm-hmm. that he could wrap me back together. It was like peeling like an onion. I was peeling off. But just he said, just breathe. And breathe side by side. Came back. It's so powerful. And even anybody can try it. When you and but you can't get too excited about, you're not listening to me. You know, you can't, you've got to let go of that and just, okay. And your breath can be so powerful.
Well, it's the difference between being a wall and being the ocean.
Yeah. You're not just putting up a barrier between you and the person. Just breathing with them.
Because, you know, it's even, we're big fans of Cesar Millan, you know, with dog training. They say, when you pull on the leash, the dog, you think you're going to hold the dog back. But what it signals to the dog is that they need to pull harder. Mm. Yeah. So it's kind of like that. You know, energetically, when we put that up, it actually get, you know, then people kind of, without any word, even the energy, is like, I got to talk louder, I got to be more animated because you're not hearing me. Mm-hmm. But if we're really open, usually the energy can dissipate, and then it's finished. It's exhausted. You know, we're not feeding it one way or another.
So I haven't done Tai Chi, but I have friends that have, and they say that you can, the Chi, somebody can send it towards you, and you can just step aside.
And let it go by
rather than going, like that. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, well, it's like being at the ocean. If you're the waves coming and you're standing like this, it's
all the same.
But if you turn and it just goes that way, it doesn't push you down. Mm. You know, it's like that. It's a very subtle thing. And it's there. We know it, but we don't know it somehow. We're trying to recollect this knowledge.
It's when we resist it rather than just accepting it. But, you
know. Well, I know that they're all like, both of my daughters are always telling me that sometimes I breathe too shallow and this you should breathe right. They've written down and read, and you know, I've known these practices for years, but I forget them. So anyway, you know, I broke my leg. It was like, you got to breathe, Do this, do that. And I, and I do it for a while. But the last class, I was feeling, I don't know, I always feel good, you know, for being as old as I am and everything going on, but I feel good. But I was tired, and even Cecily said, Mom, if you don't feel like going to the class, don't go tomorrow. I said, no, I think I'm going to go. And, you know, I came after the breathing that we did and practices, I was feeling a little bit. But the breathing and the practices, and we went to dinner, and then we went to Zikr, and I danced all night, and, mm-hmm. and I was all full of energy, lots of energy.
Yeah, she came up to me after Zikr, because she was in this. A lot of times you'll sit down and stand, but she was pretty much doing it the whole time, and she was like, God, you know, I'm just full of energy to that. I think that breath, there's something to those breath rashes. I really just feel full of energy, you know? It's like, yeah, Mom, there really is. There is something, isn't there? So again, this is from our little text on Universal Sufism, Path of Breath, Prayer, and Zikr. This is a new one, by the way. This isn't the one that we had at camp. This is a different one. We're making a little series of these. And this is from, again, the Gathas. And section one, teaching number 6 on the rhythm of breath. I'll just read a part. Very often, the Eastern mystical exercises are wrongly understood by many. When a teacher gives a breathing exercise to a student, very often, he, she, does not mean the breathing itself, but rhythm. Thought given to the breath becomes a weight upon it and naturally holds it longer in its movement, altering it from what it would otherwise naturally be. It is the following of the rhythm of breath and the keeping of the rhythm regular that brings about the best results. And here is the advantage to actually focusing on the phrase, you see, because it actually meters the breath and it keeps the breath equalized in the purification practice by repeating the phrase. You see, it actually helps aid in a rhythmic breathing pattern, because it's like, you could think it, of course, but how can you say? Maybe you're thinking very quickly, light and life, and light and life, you know. It can, so there's a reason also. I mean, I think we always must remember Hazarada Nightkhan was a master musician. He understood rhythm, and he also understood when putting certain words together, it created a kind of harmony and a kind of rhythm. So let's not so easily say, I don't need the words. Maybe we don't, but maybe we do. We have to say, perhaps there's a reason for that. And again, while breathing in, I inhale divine light and life. I radiate divine life and light. The breath becomes rhythmic in that way, just concentrating. The length of the phrase helps to create that rhythm. You see what I mean? Do you feel you learn anything new when you come?
Yes.
Okay. How about those listening in? You've been awful quiet over there, too.
Still quiet.
That's what a mute button would do.
I'm going to say, I'm here.
Okay.
And also, Surya joined us. You didn't mention that.
Oh, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Surya. Happy New Year, dear. Yeah, let's remember that, too. This is our new beginning. Isn't that wonderful, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen a lot of you since last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of new beginnings with an inauguration on the horizon and
two inaugurations on the horizon. Oh, Missouri.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. But the situation really calls for new beginnings within ourselves, too. You know, it's like, what are we ready to allow to take birth now? And it's really so wonderful that we can come together, I think, because God only knows. If we can generate something of light and life and love in these sessions, that vibration is so desperately needed, isn't it? If one can see any advantage to those forces that create disharmony, war, harm to the natural environment or to humanity, one can say that really it offers us more determination and courage to practice. There's an advantage to that. If we listen and don't just wring our hands, woe is me. And there's a young woman, I leave her name out, but we've had some correspondence over this week, and you know, she was conveying to me that sometimes she feels despair, and that in spite of the fact that she participates in, you know, anti-war marches and carries banners and this and that, she said, will it really stop anything? And she's become very interested in this work we're doing with Tibetan refugees and has decided to become a sponsor. Because she thought, I can't stop the Chinese army, but I can help one person and do something proactive. And that's a very good way of looking at it. And I know that probably almost everyone in this room is helping in that way. Well, many of you are sponsors. But it makes us think at least we're helping one person, and often that one person ends up helping many other people. I've seen that, you know, off of one sponsorship, you know, a person has 15 other Tibetans living with them and feeding them, you know, so that's a... Is it time for our station break now? I'll get my brochures out. It must be. But there is a point to it, because you can either just wring one's hands and tis tis isn't that bad, and you know, now let's go eat snow cones or something. But you know, or you can do something. And Jomsay Sokpa is our little group, and we're now partnering with Chimigetsa Ling, which is a newly established monastery. Actually, it's a continuation of another monastery, but it's larger than the previous one, that is under construction, almost at completion, in Lower Dharamsala, under the direction of His Holiness the Dalai Lama and my own teacher, His Eminence Comtul Rinpoche. So we're really focusing our attention more on this monastery and the monks there that are keeping the teachings of Dzogchen alive. One of my teachers, one of the lineage holders, of those of you that know about the Tibetan Buddhist path, and the teachings of the great fifth Dalai Lama, he's the holder of that. And so these monks have come from Tibet to keep these lineages alive and vital. Yeah. And we want to do a little bit to help that for future generations. Okay, so we have a few little brochures out on the... Made me think we should get a little something sticker in the back of this about the donate link. We could just put that on the address label that we've changed. That'd be good. Is the pace okay? I usually slow things down. I mean, I'm usually the Energizer Bunny, you know, I'm going 100 miles a minute, but there's something about going slower that makes things shift for me, and I hope for you. You don't get bored, do you? You wouldn't tell me if you were, would you? What are you going to say? Oh, yeah, this is like... What are you going to stop? When do we have the snacks?
We have it all for Leo on the floor.
Leo's a very good boy. The breath changes things. You know, the breath, I've had a lot of trouble with my stomach the last week, really. And kind of have a very bad form of diverticulitis. And so really had a lot of suffering this week. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know what, it's okay. I told Joe, I told the mom, I told... It's like I would rather myself not feel well than for him to not feel well, or mom to not feel well, or Leo, or my sister, or my students. So it's okay, you know. You just kind of use that energy of one's own disharmonious conditions of the body to offer to others' benefits. I mean, I think about it, you know, I think, how can I can possibly complain about a stomach ache? You know, I remember when we were in Italy that, you know, sometimes my feet would hurt just because we were walking a lot, and then we'd go into a church, and there's Jesus, and I'm thinking, and I think I know what suffering is. St. Teresa talked a lot about that. Again, I don't know if I've said this 100 million times, but, you know, she talked about, because she was suffering so much from the time she was a child, and then she got tuberculosis, which, of course, was the reason for her death. St. Teresa the Little Flower. But she'd say, that Jesus taught her, that she would unify with, unify herself with Jesus in her suffering. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. In like she would feel closer to him because she could experience suffering in the way that he felt suffering. That's a very beautiful thought. You know, and she was, again, only 24 when she died. How profound that she's become such an amazing saint and one of the doctors of the church, Roman Catholic Church. But, you know, that's like such a profound... Today I was reading something. I get these little quotes from the Society of the Little Flower every day, and she was saying, you know, she always talked about doing small things in great ways with great love. And of course that then became the inspiration for Mother Teresa. I mean, Mother Teresa was born with the name Agnes, but she took the name Teresa because she was modeling her behavior after St. Teresa the Little Flower. And so, and I don't know if you've read St. Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, but you know, she went through a terrible ordeal trying to establish the Sisters of Charity. I mean, a terrible ordeal. She felt this very strong inner call, and they kept poo-pooing her. She again and again and again wrote letters. First, she couldn't even get the letters out of the parish priest's hands any farther along, and finally, it just went on and on. But I mean, it was such a long time. And the thing that she said was, wouldn't it be worth it if we saved just one soul? You know, wouldn't it be worth it if we saved just one soul? You know, she was going into the poorest of the poor and trying to offer medical assistance and education mostly so that the children didn't have to perpetuate this, you know, poverty in the way that was through lack of education or understanding, but giving them skills and things. And I think about that. You know, just like that young woman that decided to sponsor someone. She might not stop the Chinese army, but it's worth it to save one soul. And St. Teresa today in her little saying was saying about that to become like little children. She always said that. We can become like little children. And she said, and just like little children, we may fall many times. And she said, but you know, when you're small, it doesn't hurt so much. You see, there's two meanings there, of course. When you're small, it doesn't hurt so much. Again, the two wings. Independence and indifference or disinterestedness or dispassionate. When we don't care so much about it, it doesn't hurt so much when we fall. What could everyone be thinking of me? Who cares? My mom always said, and I like this, are those people paying your bills or do you have mice in your pockets? You know, that was her thing. Remember, Mom? Why do you care? Are those people paying your bills? Oh, and stop worrying about it. Wisdom of the grandmothers and the mothers. So, I'm not going to read from that book. Let us do a practice, which we've just kind of started on this practice as a group. Again, many of you have probably done this practice for some time. But let us do it together. if you will you visualize, and it may be helpful, we could do this kind of mudra. If this is helpful for you, you can do this. If it's not, then don't do this. What we're really trying to do is visualize here a triangle. And the top of the triangle is at the top of the forehead. And the arms of the triangle come down to a point here. Okay, can you visualize that? And with the breath, we're going to do alternate nostril breathing, starting just with one direction. And we're going to trace the triangle. So when we breathe in, we're going to trace one side of the triangle. When we're holding the breath, we're tracing that base of the triangle. Sometimes the base is at the bottom, sometimes the base is at the top. For this practice, we're working with the base being at the top. So it's an inverted triangle, in other words. We're going to trace with the breath, breathing in. We'll breathe in through the right, hold, and our eye, and you know, you can even do this inwardly with your eyes if it helps trace it. You're breathing in with the breath. We'll go from the right nostril, breathing from the point between the brow, up the side of the triangle. We're going to hold the breath while we trace the base of the triangle, which again is inverted. And then we're going to breathe down the left side. Do you understand?
Is both the in and out through the right nostril?
No, we're going to breathe in the right, hold, and out the left.
And then we reverse?
No, okay. We're going to only do that. And I'd like to know, our Skype participants, do you understand? Because I'm making gestures with my hands that are helpful to the participants here. Does everyone have that instruction? Amina and Surya and Alima?
Amina, turn on your microphone. They fell asleep.
She's going to turn it on.
Hello, I'm not understanding where the triangle is.
On your forehead.
Okay, it starts between the eyebrows.
Yes.
And goes up at an angle and then across the top of the forehead.
Right, and then down at an angle. So it's an inverted triangle.
Okay, so the base is across the hairline?
Yeah,
kind of?
That's right.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. And everyone else have it? Alima and Surya?
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, very good. So we're going to do the breath. We'll breathe in to the count of five. We're going to hold to the count of five. And we're going to breathe out to the count of five. Okay. I wish we had the metronome. We're going to get one. Now here's the rhythmic part, you see. We think that we're all going to go willy-nilly on this practice. But it's very good to have a rhythm. You know, sometimes people have clocks in their homes that are ticking. It's very good to use that rhythm. Are we finding our stopwatch.com? So it's good to be 60 beats per minute.
Shall I start it?
Yes. So we're going to start with the right, hold, out the left. Then again, in the right, hold, out the left. And in the right, hold, out the left. Five times. Each inhalation is for the beat of five. Hold for the count of five, out for the count of five, and I'll start us and kind of give indicate those moments where we're changing. So first start by breathing out, two, three, four, 5, in, hold, out, in the right, hold, out the left, in, hold, out, in, hold, out, in, hold, out, and now we're going to reverse that. We'll breathe in the left while concentrating on the triangle again from the point of the brow up, extending outward towards the hairline, holding the breath along the hairline and descending back again down towards the brow. And we'll breathe in the left, hold, out the right. In the left again, hold, out the right. In the left again, hold out the right. 5 times. And I'm sorry, I know I have musicians in the room. I'm not sure I've kept that beat perfectly. You'll forgive me. And we have musicians listening in as well, so the intention is there. Okay. Breathe out. In the left. Hold, out right, in right, in left, hold, out right, in, hold, out right, in, hold, out right, in, hold.